Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
If it brings her to the same point that it brings you, it doesn't matter whether she called it God along the way or not.
That understanding works for you, so therefore it is absolutely right for you.
All beliefs have become only relatively true, and of course to the world, religion is just some personalized experience, not a divine revelation, and the church is catching the disease.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Go!
It's the Wretched Radio mail call delivery bag Q&A infotainment nationwide extravaganza featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
DeVille is here!
Woo! Send it! Send it!
Jimmy, I'm trying my tough guy voice.
Is that what that is?
Yes, I'm doing my best here. This is Wretched Radio, hoping that you will send wretched stuff. It's a sermon. It's an article. It's wretched. Please send it to idea@wretched.org. If you like to communicate with your thumbs, and who of us doesn't, then text away at 877-282-2337. Although, Jimmy, Texas, I think, just signed some legislation. They did the Ten Commandments in the school business. But then they also, the kids can't have their cell phones during the day. I think, you know, they've got some rule. You know, you can, if it's this or that, you can use it. But otherwise, they're taking them away from the kids so the kids can actually do, you know, school and not be distracted. I say amen to that. Now, if we could just have some legislation that basically takes them away from all of us forever.
That would be good.
That would be a good law. 877-282-2337.
All right. The theme of today's show is anonymous. Most all of our questions are from anonymous.
Brilliant. That's the best we've got.
That's right. This first one from anonymous. Todd, what is the biblical way for a young single woman to respond to older guys who flirt with her when she's out and about alone? Unfortunately, this is a repeated experience with different individuals. I dress modestly, speak kindly to everyone, but how do I communicate that that behavior is not okay? I don't have a husband to look out for me.
I know there's some good guys out there. I know that. But I also know that most guys are dogs, honestly, with their eyes. I see it. I see guys, their eyes dart down on women. Guys, you're not fooling anybody, you know, especially women. And I hear from women who say that this is just such a regular, they just feel like they're getting dressed down by strangers in public. And even just as Ms. Anonymous said, they're not dressing in a provocative way. What can you say something? Well, let's keep yourself safe. Let's start there. So consider, if you say anything, will you be safe? But then I think if you want to, you can say some lines. My eyes are up here. Hey, you know what? We're not married. So if you don't mind not looking at me, like whatever it is that you concoct, maybe come up with a line or two. Google it. I'll bet people have got stuff like this on the internet. Jimmy, go to the AI machine and let's go to the source of all current wisdom, AI, and ask the question, what can a young woman say who is being ogled by a strange man to get him to stop without getting, you know, in putting yourself in danger? Let's see what AI says. If we come up with something good, use it. If not, come up with your own thing. But I think you can feel free to use that. And it's a tragedy. What an era we live in. Don't we think we've advanced so much? Look at how progressed we are. We got cell phones, man. We got telecommunication. I can watch MMF fighting on my phone. It's amazing. And we've become so low and so base and so not gentlemanly and so not ladylike. We have not progressed in that regard. We've devolved. So I'm sorry for that, ladies. Just stay safe. And remember this, if you're dressing appropriately, you're not sinning, okay? And I'm sorry, I can only imagine that it would make you just feel like, is that what guys think about me? Don't let that in. Don't let guys diminish your value in God's eyes. Don't let guys rob you of having joy. And don't feel guilty if you're not being flesh. If there are a lot of women these days. Oh, I just saw this little girl. She must have been 12. Oh, I know. I went to the mall. I was picking up a birthday gift for Mrs. Friel. And I'm in my car and I watch this family get out. It's the dad and like an 18-year-old daughter and the 12-year-old daughter. It's like, excuse me, dude, that's a little girl. That's your little girl. It's the men that I want to get on. And the women will dress in such provocative ways. I don't know what's going on in their heart, but they have to know that they are provoking guys to look at them. And if you're not dressing that way to provoke, it's not your sin. It's their sin. Maybe a good response, maybe, would be to pray for them. That might be the best way, and it might help your heart the most. In fact, the sermon at Alpharetta Bible Church on Sunday, I think the preacher absolutely nailed it.
Oh, he did.
Absolutely. In Matthew chapter 26, Jesus is in the garden. He's getting pressed in the olive garden. It's the olive press. That's what Gethsemane means, olive press. Very fitting, very vivid. Jesus is getting pressed. And he's feeling the wrath of God beginning to bear down on him. And he talks about being grieved, no, deeply grieved, no, horrifyingly grieved. And what is his response? He prays. And then he goes and finds the disciples, not mad at them, just, guys, please wake up. Could you pray and watch? I'm really, 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 really feeling the weight of the sins of the world on me right now. Could you stay up? What does he do? He goes back and prays. Comes back, they're sleeping, goes back and prays. Comes back, they're sleeping. And notice his response is not to be angry. He talks about their flesh being weak. Their spirit is willing, their flesh weak. Those are very gentle words. He should have said, what is the matter with you guys? Seriously. And it's Passover. Is this too hard for you boys? I've told you, I'm bearing the weight of the world on my shoulder. I'm taking the sins of everybody who repents and believes in me. Couldn't you stay up, friends? Didn't do that. Kind of sympathized with them. Your spirit's willing, your flesh is weak. In other words, we saw our sympathetic high priest in action, but we saw something else in action because after the third time he finds them sleeping, immediately says, but here they come, let's go. And Judas then enters the stage. How could Jesus, in the very beginning of this short section, have been so agitated, a deep soul terror, sort of anxiousness? Not sinful, but recognizing the weight, the olive press that was going to weigh down on him, to being that kind and calm. What's there in that text? What did he do to be that calm? He prayed. So when the next time that you're confronted with something difficult or you're afraid or you're feeling anxious, pray. Go to the Lord in prayer. Cast your cares on him. He wants to hear from you. You can't do this in your own strength. You need his. And so the admonition to the disciples, watch and pray. It applies to us today. Be watchful. Be on the lookout for dangers, but be prayerful. Don't do this by yourself. You don't have the strength to do it. And if you're perpetually anxious, I wonder if maybe prayer might just be your remedy. And young lady, maybe that's the best thing you can do for those guys who are acting like dogs. Jimmy, you come up with any good things from AI?
Not really. No, I mean, I noticed you staring. Please stop.
Okay. Nothing brilliant.
But I like your idea about praying for them. And I think I would incorporate that actually into what I said to them. Sir, I see you struggling with lust. Can I pray with you?
Oh, wow.
That would probably be a little more.
That's a little bit, but watch them run.
That's right.
If you got guys that are trying to approach you in ways you don't appreciate, hey, I noticed your eyes are really looking lustfully. You know, that's a sin. In fact, in the Sermon on the Mount, hello, wait, sir, I didn't finish the sermon on the 877-282-2337, whether you are anonymous or not.
This is from Anonymous. Todd, what is considered to be above reproach and the husband of one wife?
They're two different things. The husband of one wife is that you're a one-woman man. You're faithful to your spouse. I'm just going to stay away from all of the different complexities to that question. You are faithful to your spouse. You're not a dog. Your eyes don't wander. You honor her. You cherish her. You love her the way that Jesus loved the church. The being above reproach thing, that's the scariest. That is, it's a laundry list of qualifications for an elder. To me, that's like sort of the overarching one that encompasses all of them, but it's also the scariest one. That there's nothing about your character, there's nothing about your behavior that could cause the world to not believe in Jesus Christ. Now, it has to be a valid accusation. But if they can point to something and go, yeah, right, then you're not above reproach. Yikes. Now, does that mean that a pastor can't make a mistake and repent? And no, he can do all of that. But the qualification for an elder is that he is one who cannot be accused of anything valid that would undermine his testimony and his message. And all pastors said, gulp. This is Wretched Radio.
Question, what if everything you knew about God is absolutely true, but it's not changing how you live your life? I think we've all stood in that gap sometimes. Our theology, rock solid. Our hearts, they're still learning how to play catch up. And Dr. John Krotz, the host of Integrated, understands this struggle because he's lived it. He's the pastor of Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia, and of course, the host of the Integrated podcast at Fortis Plus, and he's discovered five powerful ways to bridge that gap between knowing God and truly loving Him with everything we've got. In his new Fortis Forum, Head to Heart, which is available now on Fortis Plus, Dr. Krotz shares how biblical characters like Stephen and Daniel didn't just memorize truth, they lived it under pressure. Here's what Dr. Krotz has learned and what he's going to show you in his Fortis Forum. God uses everything, even our suffering, to move his truth from our heads to our hearts. If you're ready to turn doctrine into devotion, your heart's waiting, and so is this Fortis Forum hosted by Dr. John Krotz. It's called Head to Heart, and it's available now on Fortis Plus.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Master's University in Southern California. Beautiful campus. All of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number six for preparing students for the real world. All that. Plus, the Master's University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Master's University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
For 25 years, Fortis Institute has been building something powerful, a reservoir of biblical truth deep enough to change lives and strong enough to transform churches. But we've realized something very profound. Truth was never meant to be contained. It was meant to flow freely, reaching every single person, every hungry heart, every searching mind. And that's why we're doing something unprecedented. We're breaking the dam. Truth Unhindered isn't just a campaign name. It's our vision for the future. It's about removing every barrier between solid teaching and those who need it the most. We have extraordinary plans for the second half of 2025, but to make this moment possible, we need your partnership now more than ever. Right now, through the end of June, every gift you give will be matched. Your generosity today becomes a flood of truth tomorrow. Just visit fortisinstitute.org/truth right now before June 30th and help us break the dam and let the truth flow unhindered. fortisinstitute.org/truth.
God has given the church many gifts for the building up of the body. One gift is mercy.
Those who possess this gift are able to show compassion and comfort the afflicted, people who are sick, dying, or bereaved. God cares about the things that afflict us and has provided comfort in troubled times. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
You come a long way, baby. Or have you? This is Wretched Radio. I get it. There were some adjustments that needed to be made in Victorian England regarding women. I get it, but it was also an era that recognized men can be dogs and shouldn't be. They should comport themselves as gentlemen. And women were looked at as, I'm sorry, the weaker vessel, because last time I checked, with a very few exceptions, you're the weaker vessel. And that wasn't derogatory. It was just simply understood. So men stood up for women to honor them. They pulled their chairs out to seat them, to slide the chair in. They would open the door for them, and they wouldn't ogle them like they were at a meat market, because it was understood that is not the way a gentleman acts. But thank you, first, second, and third wave feminism. You got what you wanted. Liberal sexuality. And now women are... There are probably very few women who cannot remember being ogled at. I bet there's none that can't say, yeah, I catch guys looking. That's what they're doing. Now, I know that they could do that in Victorian times. I get that. But what I'm saying is we used to esteem women higher than we do today. And I put that squarely in the lap of the feminist movement. You come a long way, baby. Congratulations. Some good things happened from it. But along the way, I think the lead was lost. Things like being able to go to school. Well, that to us, of course, it just seems like, are you kidding me? Of course women should be able to go to school. That's actually quite ridiculous as you look back on it. But along the way, women, in an effort to be just like men, I think they forfeited something. And I think one of the things that they forfeited was gentlemen treating them like ladies. Not sure in all regards. You've come a long way, baby. 877-282-2337.
Let's stay in that realm. Another question from Anonymous. Todd, are sexually immoral thoughts enough to disqualify you? For example, say you're at the pool and you notice a woman not dressed very appropriately, and you have an immoral thought at that point, and you're in a position of leadership. Did you just disqualify yourself?
No, if that's it. if that's like, okay, it was 3 weeks ago on Wednesday, I was at the public pool and I looked with lust. No, that can help it happen. It's been that situation where it's even, if you will, provoked, although it's fully your responsibility. No, that's not. Christians still sin and pastors still sin. But 1 John 3:8-9, if I'm not mistaken, if you continue in sin, you're of the devil. Devils are not qualified to be elders. So if we're doing the math, if you keep on sinning, if you're plotting it, you're planning it, you're strategizing it, you're carrying it out, then you should step back from being an elder. Here's a test for you to know your heart. Here it comes. Don't go to the pool anymore. There you go. How did you respond to that? If your response was, okay, not a problem. You're right. Good thought, Friel. Finally, I'm not going to go to a place where women dress like that. What was I thinking? I would say, carry on, elder. If on the other hand, it's February, you're on the internet at the park and rec to try to figure, when is the pool going to open? I sure hope that I get that one chair where I can see them coming down the slide, because I really dig that. And I'm going to get myself an annual pass early and save $20. Then I'd say, you better talk to somebody about it, because that is not the heart, not only of an elder, frankly, but of a Christian. Christian sin, but we don't carry on in a lifestyle of unrepentant sin. 877-282-2337.
Guess who this one's from?
I'm going to go with Anonymous.
No, it's from Tina.
Stop it. You so set me up.
This is from Tina. I was baptized by pouring nearly 10 years ago after being born again. I've learned a lot since then, and given the choice 10 years ago, knowing what I know now, I would have chosen to be immersed. but I'm not convicted to be baptized again. But the church we've been attending for a while now, which is a good and solid church, requires all to be baptized by immersion to become a member.
Yeah.
Is that wrong?
Okay, I understand their heart. I get that. But I don't think that immersion is a conviction that disqualifies. I don't think that we can be so firm in that. I see that as being right. We've done a study on baptism here. The word itself means to immerse. So I mean, I just don't know how much more clear that it could be. So the pouring and the sprinkling, I would say, aren't biblical, but I don't think that means the baptism was invalid, nor do I think it should be something that would disqualify somebody from being a member, certainly not at Alpha or at a Bible church, because you didn't know at the point, especially when somebody comes along and says, look, if I had known I wouldn't have done it, I would have been immersed. Okay, cool, carry on. You can't make a law where there is no law. So I'm not sure how you're going to work it out with them, because chances are they're firm in their convictions. I get that. But if they're not going to let you in, then you probably have to find a church where they wouldn't see that as being a disqualifying form or mode of baptism. Jimmy, you got anything else to add to that?
Now, I wouldn't look at it as them disqualifying your previous baptism, but I would look at
disqualified as membership, for membership.
No, but what I'm saying is not saying that their previous baptism wasn't valid. I wouldn't look at the church telling them that, but looking at it as saying this is the mode of membership.
Yeah, it seems to me what we just heard presented is, if you don't do baptism this way, you can't become a member. So what about that might be acceptable when we don't have a Bible verse that would state that emphatically? Yeah. And look, there's some wisdom stuff that is involved. I do understand that. But I think that I just keep coming back to, if it's not a law, if it's not clearly regulated in Scripture, I just wouldn't elevate it to that level. And look, it's they can do that. And I wouldn't even say that that church is apostate. I'm not even thinking in those terms. But if that's their criteria, and you don't think that you need to get baptized again because you actually were baptized, well, then they're missing out on having you as a member. You got any ideas on this? Send it to idea@wretched.org or text away 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Anonymous. Todd, I heard a sermon on the sins. Heard a sermon on the sins we commit by omission and thought it was an interesting subject. Essentially, it made me wonder what sins that we all commit every day through inaction. Am I sinning because I have not visited widows and orphans in their affliction, as James said, or adopted children as Christ adopted us, or helped those in poverty, and so on?
Well, thanks for that email, Tina.
No, this is from Anonymous.
No, it's Tina.
Okay.
It's everything now is from Tina. Sins of omission, we commit so many of them because we are commanded to do all of those things. We are commanded to do as much as we can. Now, you can't do everything all the time. You can't. What you are called to is faithfulness. I think that's, if I were going to take all of the commands of the New Testament, visiting orphans and widows, feeding the poor, visiting the widow, all of you can't do just those three things. You can't do at the same time. You're not sinning. You're called to faithfulness. Those are encouragements to do those things. And I would say, especially at the heart level, I don't want to visit those old widows. Okay, that's a problem. But I don't think that you're commanded to do all things all the time. For instance, pray without ceasing. Does that mean you can do nothing else but pray? I don't think so. I think what it means is you should be a persistent prayer. You should be a regular prayer. It should be a pattern of your life. It should be built into the fabric of who you are as a Christian. But you can't possibly be doing it 24/7, or you do nothing but get into car accidents. If you're not praying and you don't want to pray and you're neglecting prayer, ask J.C. Ryle, who wrote, I think the book is called Do You Pray? It's very convicting. It keeps asking the question, a genuine Christian prays. Now, how much? How often? The answer is the Bible doesn't tell you exactly what the pattern is, because you get to work through that and grow in that as a believer, as the Holy Spirit convicts you and grows you and encourages you and strengthens you and teaches you how to do it. But if you don't have any sort of prayer life, that's a problem. That's a problem. So that would be a sin of omission, not giving to your church, and you could sin of omission. Now, what about worshiping God? I should be worshiping God all the time, but that's really not reality, is it? So I just as an aside, I understand that worship isn't just singing. But let's just say I never sing. I never do that. Well, then I'm omitting something that God wants me to be doing. This is sanctification. This is maturing in the faith. So don't feel overwhelmed by all of the things that you're supposed to be doing. Ask yourself this question instead. Am I being faithful? Or am I just being a lazy Christian? And if that's the case, repent. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, a production of the Fortis Institute. We start with President Trump's America First policies, which seem to be delivering tangible results for working families. Blue-collar wages are soaring at their fastest rate since 1969. The only other president to come close? Trump himself during his first term. The administration's commitment to constitutional principles extends beyond economics, however. The Trump Justice Department, along with 21 states, filed friend of the court briefs supporting Colorado counselor Kaylee Chiles in her Supreme Court challenge to the state's so-called conversion therapy ban. Chiles wants to help young people distressed about their gender grow comfortable with their bodies and avoid harmful medical interventions, which is something Colorado prohibits. Meanwhile, merit is making a comeback at our military academies. The Naval Academy officially dropped race, ethnicity, and sex as admission factors, aligning with the president's executive order mandating merit-only criteria. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth reinforced the policy across all service academies in May, allowing consideration only for athletic talent or military experience. Speaking of concerning trends, new research tracks 292,000 children and reveals what many parents already suspected about screen time. The American Psychological Association's meta-analysis of 117 studies found strong evidence linking higher screen use to anxiety, depression, aggression, and low self-esteem. And while parents here wrestle with screen time, parents abroad face life and death religious persecution. In Pakistan, a 28-year-old Christian was acquitted of blasphemy charges after a judge found glaring contradictions in witness statements and noted the complaint was filed 5 hours after the alleged incident, despite the police station being 8 kilometers away. In Indonesia, an 8-year-old Christian died from a ruptured appendix days after Muslim fifth graders beat him so severely he required hospitalization. As we tell you all the time around here, please make sure that you continue every day praying for our persecuted brothers and sisters all over the world. Speaking of all over the world, in Europe, the European Union pushes forward with its international dignity strategy, promoting centralized digital identity systems and expanded online censorship cooperation with foreign governments. Basically, what it's saying is that this tightly managed ecosystem leaves little space for anonymous online participation. That should scare you. That wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content. You can do both at FortisInstitute.org. And don't forget, you can subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app in order to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Books of the Bible. 2 Samuel tells about King David's reign over Israel. Even though David was a man after God's heart, he still gave in to temptation and suffered bitter consequences. Yet David repented of his sin and was forgiven by God. Remember, there is only one perfect and faultless king, Jesus Christ.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Tick, 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 tick. The clock is ticking. This is Wretched Radio. Look at the sand in the hourglass. The top half is almost out. Our Truth Unhindered campaign almost done. So if and you've been thinking about supporting us in this match campaign so we can give away all of our resources around the globe, we would love it if you would consider doing it, you know, like lickety split. not to be pushy or anything, but make it snappy because the campaign is almost done. You can learn more about it at fortisinstitute.org/truth. And please know, this current initiative to close the store, it's just the beginning. We chose this as the first thing we wanted to do because we wanted to do this so badly. So much of our stuff is already free. I mean, like 90%+ is free, but it's the big resource stuff, the big production stuff that we typically have sold in the store. Well, we want to give that away too, but that's going to set the stage. We have initiatives planned through 2027. I mean, they're like, we got this. And we're going to roll those out. And it is my hope that if you are excited about the local church or evangelism, you'd consider supporting us because we're going after it. We love the local church and we are going to be doing things that are tangible, visible, and impactful for the local church. Second, we're invading the campuses. We are going to reach as many kids as we can. We can't reach them all, but we're going to give it a go. So if your heart beats evangelism in the local church, please, would you consider becoming a gospel partner? We want to do some great stuff together. FortisInstitute.org/truth.
All right. This question is from Devin. Todd, I am a stay-at-home dad, part-time contract worker. I was injured and on disability for over 7 years. While I was on disability, my wife and I had a son. After my son turned one, I got off disability but maintained the role of stay-at-home dad. My wife is able to make more money than I would by allowing us to maintain a moderate lifestyle. My wife completely submits to my authority as leader of the home. We're both comfortable and happy in our roles. That being said, is it sin that my contributions to our monetary situation are minimal at best?
There are so many reasons this question just makes me go, ugh. Number one, the societal pressure to answer in a way that isn't biblical. Number two, the current configuration of families. It just, ugh. Prior to, we've discussed this before, prior to the Industrial Revolution, moms and dads were both at home. There was a family industry. Dad worked, mom worked, mom took care of the kids, dad took care of the kids. That's the way our society, the whole world ran. For give or take, let's just call it 200, like 5,800 years. That's how it worked. You were a family business and dad was working. It could be on the farm. Yeah, sure. He could be out in the field, but it was at home. The industry, if it was horseshoeing, it was right next to the home and dads would be at home with the kids and moms would help with work. Today, because of the way our society operates, it's just the place, the destination that we've currently arrived at that demands so much income. You've got all kinds of role swapping available that you've got a different configuration. So, and then you throw kids into it and it does nothing but brings, I think, almost an none of it is perfect because I don't think that it's best that dad goes away for 10, 12 hours a day. I don't think that's best. Sure, you get it farming. That could have happened. But as a rule, he was there. And so I don't think that it is good. What we currently do now is not ideal, no matter how you slice it. So having said all of that, Here's my take on your situation. We've got to ask ourselves the question, not how much money do we make? How comfortable are we? Those are all a part of the conversation, but those aren't the preeminent issues. The number one and frankly determining question is what does God want? What does God want? And so what we see in the Bible, even when this was on the family farm, dad was the primary worker. Mom was the primary nurturer. Now, that configuration has changed. Dad doesn't get to do as much family business because he's out working thanks to the Industrial Revolution. Mom, if she's wanting to be the nurturer and raise her kids, doesn't get to go out into the workplace. See, that's why it's just this. We're not living in an ideal configuration right now. But we have to ask the question and apply it as best we can. What is God's instruction for husband and wife in a home raising kids? And then we work within the confines of what we've got. And so to this couple, if they came in, I'll tell you the first thing I wouldn't be is severe and harsh. I wouldn't. I get it. I mean, she makes more money. I get it. Come on, we got to pay the bills. That's the way it works. So I don't want to be harsh and severe, but I would be encouraging that when we, even when it's difficult, do what God wants, applying it the best that we can, he honors that. It might mean you don't get to take as many vacations or enjoy a particular food as often as you would like to, or going out to eat for that matter. God will honor that. God will honor that. When we strive to do what he says, it's always the better. And he blesses that. This is not word faith. This is biblical. This is reaping and sowing. This is when you do things that are pleasing to the Lord. In general, not a perfect law, but in general, he blesses those things. So we have to submit to him and ask, all right, Lord, what's the man's role? Here it is. Worker, protector, provider. Woman's role, nurturer, the tender one, the soft one, the Isha. She's the one who bears babies and has the greatest impact in the raising of the babies. So now you got to go sort that out in our current 21st century context. And it's going to require perhaps some time and some transitioning. So let's not cut off our nose to spite our face. Let's not make rash decisions. But I think you should be working toward that goal. And I think the Lord will bless it. And I think your son will see something modeled that shows this is what the roles are. Because we don't want to confuse that. It is a testimony to the world. It is. You are speaking. All of our marriages speak. All of our dynamics speak. All of our behavior speaks. And your child hears it, but so do the neighbors. So does everybody else. So we want to conform ourselves into the laws and the rules and the principles that God has given. And we trust him. And we trust him. And we trust that he will bless us because of it. Jimmy, you got anything else?
No.
So I was like perfect.
I think you hit all the high points there.
Well, thank you very much. I thought so too. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Anonymous. Todd, does God still love those in hell?
Define love. Define love. What you talking about? At that point, all of God's goodness is removed from them. God loves the world, and he causes the rain to fall on the evil and the good, so he shows his love all the time to people who shake their fist at him. Does he still have that love for them in hell? I'm a little hesitant to answer that because I don't know that I've got biblical direction for that. It's going to be somewhat speculative, but if you forced me to, because God is love, I think I would be tended to lean more toward, even though he's pouring his wrath out on them because they are his creation and because his nature is love, I don't think the two are in conflict. I don't. And so because he is love, I would not say this definitively, but I think I'd tip toward, yeah, he does. Could be wrong. Am I, Jimmy? What would you say?
That's a
tough one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why'd you ask that? Way to go.
I'm so sorry.
Hey, if you hear these conversations here and you think of a Bible verse or it's like, hey, wait a second. No, I read a paper on this once and here's a, please send it. I don't know if you're aware of this, but Jimmy does not know everything. So if you do know something he doesn't, please send it to idea@wretched.org along with all other wretched stuff.
This is from Latimer. Todd, was God the Son? Was his name Jesus before the incarnation? Todd?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm so sorry, Jimmy. I was just on my calculator trying to figure out how many angels can dance on the head of a pin. Any other questions you'd like to ask me that are speculative? Was Jesus named Jesus before the incarnation? I don't know. I suspect not, because that's a human name. And he became human for us and was named Jesus. So prior to that, is that what he was called? And it just carried over into now. No, but I do know that God knew that that would be his name. That I know for sure. Hence the angel's announcement. But was that always his name? Okay. So having answered that, I think, no, that wasn't always his name. Ultimately, don't know. But Jimmy, let's see if I can ask you a question.
Okay.
you would agree that there is a subordination in the Trinitarian Godhead.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Was that subordination in place in eternity past or just at the incarnation?
In eternity past, I would think. I don't know.
Oh, we've got something to talk about next on Wretched Radio.
You've most likely been there, sitting across from a therapist, staring at their degrees on the wall, listening while they give you a diagnosis and tell you what pill and prescription they think are going to cure all your ills. You walk out of the office carrying a label, and you wonder why you feel even heavier than you did before you walked in. That's why Dr. Greg Gifford wrote Lies My Therapist Told Me, because sometimes it's not the medication or even the diagnosis that's the real issue. It's that the whole system doesn't touch what's going on beneath the surface. Look, not every struggle is solved with a pill. Not every label tells the entire story. What if addiction's not just a disease? What if your anxiety is not just a chemical imbalance? And what if the diagnosis handed to your child is not the final word? The world gives its answers, but rarely does it ever deal with the heart. Scripture does. Order Lies My Therapist Told Me today at fortisinstitute.org/lies. That's fortisinstitute.org/lies. You ever notice how Christians sometimes dance around the J word? You know, judging. Yeah, we've gotten so scared of our culture that we're practically doing spiritual gymnastics trying to avoid it. What if I told you that righteous judgment isn't just some outdated concept? It's actually one of God's greatest gifts to protect his flock. That's why I'm fired up about our new resource, Thou Shalt Judge, with Todd Friel and Justin Peters. It's honestly judging how we judge. Listen, if you're tired of watching your loved ones fall for every wind of doctrine that blows through TikTok, this resource could be an answered prayer. 13 powerful lectures that will revolutionize how you view biblical discernment. Plus, because we love you, there's a free study guide included. It's time to stop tiptoeing and start standing firm. Your family and friends need you anchored in God's Word now more than ever at fortisinstitute.org. That's the Fortis store at fortisinstitute.org. Thou Shalt Judge with Todd Friel and Justin Peters.
So if we were going to be honest with one another, we would have to admit that every day our phone buzzes with celebrity scandals and political outrage and notifications of TikTok trends, all the stuff that doesn't matter. But what if your phone could deliver something different? Because it can. Meet Fortis Plus. If you haven't already downloaded it yet, I want to urge you to take that opportunity right now. It's free and it will replace noise with nourishment. Picture this, 7 new pieces of content every single day. And I'm not talking clickbait or gossip. I'm talking real truth for real life. The app is already full of hundreds of hours of content. Again, completely free. And when I say free, I mean free. I don't mean hidden costs and temporary trials and premium tiers. No subscription traps at all. Because while everyone else all over the world is selling you something, we are giving something away. Fortis Plus. Download it right now where you download your apps, or just go to fortisplus.org, because what feeds your mind shapes your life.
Names of God. We learn a lot about God from the names given to him in Scripture. One name is Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord of our righteousness. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 tells us that God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hey, lady, or sir, did you miss the Fortis Forum? This is Wretched Radio. Scoot. That's right. Scoot to fortisplus.org. John Krotz delivering a great presentation with our Fortis director, Jason Allen, moving theology from head to heart. Super helpful. I encourage you to avail yourself of that free Fortis Forum at fortisplus.org. And then when you're at the computer and you find something wretched, you can send it to idea@wretched.org.
All right. This is from Anonymous. Imagine that. I read the dating book Water for My Camels.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The author mentioned the necessity of one's future spouse forgiving the other for their past. How can someone forgive sins that were not committed against them?
Okay, I don't know what chapter and verse of the book that it's talking about. So let me just kind of, I'll explain it the way that I would understand the concept that was just presented, because I don't recall what chapter and verse that was in that book. It's a helpful little book, by the way, especially the Q&A at the end. If I'm dating somebody and they do this, what about that? Can we do this? What about that? What if the mother-in-law, it's really a water for my camel's butt. But regarding forgiveness for sins not committed against you, well, you can't because it wasn't committed against you. So again, we're keeping this separate from the book. But there are going to be some sins that happen perhaps in your future spouse's life that could impact the marriage, usually of the sexual nature. And while I wouldn't say that you have to forgive them for committing those sins, maybe they didn't even know you at this time, I do believe that you need to put it in the category of love covering a multitude of their sins, that it hurts, it stings, but you just let, it's like, okay, I get it. You were an unbeliever or you were a Christian who sinned. God's grace is amazing. I've been forgiven much. So as long as now I understand, you need to bury it though. And not bring it up. And that's what I think is the crucial part. There can't be a transaction of forgiveness if somebody did not sin against the other person. And while it feels like they did, well, they technically did not, so you can't technically forgive them. But I do think, need to deal with it. You need to sort it. Okay, what happened? How do you feel about that? What were the circumstances? What was that individual's spiritual state at the time? And then if you decide, hey, this is not a deal breaker, guess where I'm going to put this? In the sea of forgetfulness. I am not going to dredge this up. I'm not going to bring this up. I am not going to use this as a cudgel to beat you up simply because you do something that annoys me. I think that is the practice, because you can only forgive somebody if they've sinned against you. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from, no, it's from Terry.
But you said.
I know, I said most of them.
No, you did not.
You hear
do
what
you need me to roll the tape, which I actually couldn't do. You could.
You hear what you want to hear.
And you could turn the AI on it and just make it whatever you wanted to. Okay, so, all right, Jimmy.
Yes?
Do you want to confess what you tried to talk me into with Play the Man?
I said I'd try it. And I didn't like it, and you didn't either.
I didn't either. Okay. I say this because I'm recognizing, I deserve to be caned for even uttering this sentence, but here it comes. Reading for me is hard. Not reading, like reading a book, I read stuff all the time. That's not, I mean, reading copy. Reading like a commercial. So for instance, I had to read the foreword that I wrote to Greg Gifford's book, Lies My Therapist Told Me.
It's the hardest thing you ever had
to do. That was awful. Because not only did I have to read it word for word, there was somebody from HarperCollins listening to it. You said the, and it should have been a. Okay. All right. We'll go back and redo that. And you said it like this. Why don't you say, I'm like, and I'm, so at any rate, I find reading to be difficult. So we're going to be giving away a new booklet called Play the Man. Not yet. It'll be next week. I think we're going to announce this, maybe the week after, where you can order these cards. They're really well done, that you bring to a university campus and give to a kid who can use their cell phone to go to a QR code to read the book, Play the Man, for free, to rescue them from porn, to help them hear the gospel and hopefully get saved free. More details later. But we wanted to do an audiobook, which means I need to read it. And it's not even that long. It's like 20,000 words long. That's not that long. It's longer than a booklet, that's for sure. But it's not like a big tome. So Jimmy said,
I said, let's try AI. Let's try to clone.
I said it. I said it. It's like, could we please try it?
Yeah.
It's awful. It's, you can just tell immediately.
Yeah.
It's amazing to a degree, but it ain't the same. And no. I at this point, I think you can still tell. But I'm telling you, that's going to be an issue. That is going to be a big deal. Mm-hmm. We're going to have to get that sorted somehow, knowing when something is AI or not. And it's done with audio and it's done with video. Speaking of technology, I just read that they anticipate by the year like 2035, something like that, 1 billion robots doing human labor. 1 billion. That's going to be displacing a lot of jobs. Hopefully some get replaced in the AI industry and the, but here's what I didn't like about, okay, great. There's a machine that can help us. It's going to be slower to be introduced into the domestic realm. This is mostly for industrial use. But what I don't like is that they call them humanoids. They're not human. You don't call a broom a humanoid because it sweeps. And people sweep. It's a machine. There's nothing human about it. Sure, it does tasks for humans, but that doesn't make you a human. Get ready. 1 billion robots. And I keep reading articles about the effect of AI and social media and what it is doing to people's brains. I'm telling you, there's danger lurking with this stuff. 877-282-2337.
So you never answered the question. Why do you hate reading?
I don't hate read. Oh, the like the
yeah.
copy?
Yeah.
Oh, because it's hard.
You get such a hard life.
Like well, I mean, cane me. I deserve it.
But it is worth saying that it's hard. It's different writing for radio than it is writing for a book.
I just can't do it.
Well, it's a whole different
thing. Okay, you know, I think Don Henley did a song, Dirty Laundry. The bubble-headed bleach blonde goes on at 10. You know, they just read copy. Well, guess what? There's actually a skill to it.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean their intelligence is high or low. It just means there is a skill to being able to read stuff without sounding like you are reading something about pornography and how a man needs new affections in order to denounce the sins that so entangle him. 877. Did I answer the original question?
I think you did.
Okay. All right. 877-282-2337.
This is from Terry. Todd, we always hear from the left that abortion is needed to save the life of the mother. Is that medically true in this day and age?
No, it's not medically true. And it's the issue, typically we're talking about ectopic pregnancies here, but an abortion requires an intentional taking of an innocent human life. If there is a procedure that saves the mother's life and in the process tragically results in the loss of the child's life, we mourn that, but it's not an abortion. Don't be deceived by this argument. It is not medically necessary. It's another shell game. And I just read, I think like 60 Planned Parenthood clinics closing down, and I go, yay! Unfortunately, boo, because there's been more abortions in the last year because you can now get the morning after pill at a gas station. Perfect. 877-282-2337.
This is from Anonymous. Todd, I'm a girl and I'm considering starting a podcast with another girl where we might occasionally discuss theology. The podcast is intended for a general audience, particularly college young adults, but some men might listen. Is that a violation of the restrictions?
I don't think so. No, yeah. I don't think so. You're not in the context of a church. Women can share theological thoughts and men can listen to them. The issue is authority and the issue is the context of the church. So podcast on. And speaking of podcasts, I would have been a horrible host if I missed that segue, Jimmy. We have so many great podcasts and we're going to be adding even more. Libby Glosson, I'm telling you, young lady, if you're thinking about it, go listen to Libby and take notes. Seriously, it's that good. The better way is hers. Way of Manhood, that's Adam Tyson's for Gen Z young men. You need it, dude. You just, if you want to level up, listen to Adam Tyson's podcast. That's right. I know the hip lingo, Pally boy. You want to level up.
You and I have not had a conversation about, did you say we're adding more?
Shh. Oh my goodness. Shh. Don't tell Jimmy.
Please don't.
Don't worry. We'll get a robot. That'll be fine.
That's perfect.
We'll start AI-ing your voice. And we've got Greg Giffords Transformed, of course. You've got Integrated with Dr. John Krotz. And I am missing, Brad Bigney, Thrive. Oh, man, he does a super fine. You know, Brad Bigney, he's an A-level broadcaster. So agitating. So agitating. He's been he's a communicator. He's been a pastor for so long, but he stepped into that role of podcaster. And it's like, dude, Formatics crushes it. Just a pre-structure of everything. It's like, dude, all those podcasts are available free at the Fortis app, fortisplus.org, or wherever you do your podcast business. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.